Welcome back. Welcome back. It's midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, people. It's a beautiful, but tough, but beautiful, beautiful Monday morning. We appreciate you being here. You know we're going to talk some basketball. You know we're going to talk some tax layer football. You know we're going to need you all hands on deck this Monday morning. Speaking of all hands on deck, Steve Rummage in the building, Brian Hall in the booth.
I appreciate the crowd showing up even the day after the second loss of the week. It's nice of y'all, but you know what? Y'all can go home. Y'all can go on home. That's fine. Just get on out of here because you're not – I'm not in a great mood, so thank you very much. Appreciate it. No, I'm not in the best mood.
No, Steve, we still – bring the energy. The energy does not matter about the mood, does it?
No.
There's a difference between energy and mood.
No, I'm ready.
So you still got the energy, but your mood is a little bit off balance.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can be angry. I can be angry and have a lot of energy, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's fine too.
Brian Hall, is he in the booth? Well, he's hunting around.
Yeah, Brian Hall's doing his thing, man. He's doing his job.
He went to go track down Perrin for us. Perrin's gone.
He's gone. He left. Yeah.
Okay, Perrin.
There he goes.
You missed out.
You get the show, you're done.
You're right.
So that's fair.
Got out here quicker than me. Jeez. You got beef in here?
Good news. Let's talk about good things first. Good news is Alabama got in the playoff.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's good for me.
I expected to hear Weedem Boys or something going on.
No, that was already celebrated.
8150, 93.9. People, feel free to jump in. Steve Rummage was being sarcastic, of course. There is one item on the docket for the first part of the show. This is a continuation from the pregame we did last night and the postgame we did last night. I mean, well, I did kind of. Steve.
I gave you 30 minutes.
You're not allowed to commit to a postgame show and let your emotions. Yes, as soon as you put on a headset, Steve, you're committed to do a postgame show.
I sat down and I said, you got 30 minutes. I put on my headset. I did 30 minutes. And I went
home. Steve, it's not okay for you to have a stopwatch in front of me when you say 30 minutes.
That was all.
People.
I was done.
We're supposed to be friends, and Steve put me on the clock. Ready, set, go. A positive note, Pops Rummage.
Yeah.
Got to meet him last night.
He did.
The little Rummage.
Yep.
You know why I say this, Steve. You should not have missed last night. You know what else happened? From the Aloft Hotel, people. From the Aloft Hotel.
Yes. Beautiful.
I had a conversation with Seth Greenberg.
You did.
I did.
Yeah.
And he confirmed that I had a conversation with Seth Greenberg.
Right.
And he reminded me, people, yes, that Seth Greenberg that you were sitting at home listening to was staying at the Aloft Hotel. So it's me and Seth Jeezy just hanging out in Aloft Hotel. That's why we've been telling you it's the most underrated, nicest hotel on the planet.
No, it is. I mean,
but he gave me a hard time about beating me in Freedom Hall.
I mean, that's where the ESPN guy
stayed. He was so proud.
Oh, yeah.
He was, about the time I came into Freedom Hall and brought my South Florida boys, and we got you. Yeah, you got us.
Yeah, I remember that. No.
Yes,
but,
Seth.
But
no, it was all good. No, especially when people particularly remember, remember you and remember situations. I thought that was a good exchange.
But seriously, I mean, that's why we say, man, you want to hang out there at the Aloft Hotel because, I mean, that's where you see everybody, man, and that's the spot to be.
And, of course, we didn't have enough time to actually talk about the game.
No, that would have been good. I'm like, Seth, look, dude, honestly, you talk. I don't like a lot of stuff you say. I can't talk.
I'm sure you would have let him know, Steve.
Yes, I can't talk right after games like that.
Oh, no, that's a fact.
Let's get to it. Let's just get to it. There's an issue. Obviously, for the second game this week, Louisville won the box score.
Oh.
Meaning they out-rebounded a team. They hit more threes than the other team.
Oh.
They did things. Quentin had a great game. Dingadale had 20. VJ come out of a slump. My point is, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to have to stop this right now and say statistically great game.
But that's where I'm going.
Here we go. Sorry.
Because they said.
Let me finish.
I know, yeah. Let me finish.
Fire away, Steve. Shout sorry.
But anyways, I mean, with all that, you win that again, but you lose the game down the stretch.
And what do we accredit it to, Steve?
Coaching. What? I mean, I'm not comfortable saying it. I don't want to say it, but I mean, it's the facts. And I like Coach Padgett, and I think Louisville's there.
Okay, point to the specific. Again, when you say coaching, that's way too broad of a brush.
Right.
Convince me that it's coaching.
Okay, I'll say there was one time an inbounds play under the basket. They try to run a play. They can't get the play in. I think Dwayne Sutton maybe was throwing it in.
Jordan Wara,
was he throwing it in? Okay. And then they switch out. They call a timeout. They can't get it. They run the same play, but have Quentin throwing it in, who's a shorter guy. And I said,
well, but he's a smarter passer.
True.
Quicker decision maker.
But they barely got it in. Like, I think that there is things, and this is uncomfortable for me to do because I'm used to coming in here and saying, okay, the coach, we did this. And I don't have nothing against David Padgett. I think that the team.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize for
because I think the team is right there. They almost won those two games this week, too. If Quentin's three goes in, which, by the way, was a good shot. I seen a little bit of that last night on Twitter. Like, well, why didn't he go to the basket? Why didn't he do it?
No.
There was three guys in the lane. He shot the ball with 3 seconds left, which is a good time to shoot the ball.
And it happened against Purdue where he got the shot blocked. So so just coming off of last game, he knew to shoot it maybe
and
a
they,
step early.
And they were denying Jordan Wara. He wasn't getting the ball in that play. So it was a good shot by Quentin there at the end of the game. He just missed it. But if that shot goes in, today's narrative is totally different.
That's what I'm saying. So to say coaching so easily, you can still say one shot goes in, right?
But I still think it's coaching down the stretch. And when a team has this many turnovers at down the stretch, because I think that's the key right now with this team, is they're not down the stretch. They're not getting beat. They're losing games down the stretch.
And again, you know, it's funny. We have these conversations, and a lot of times we agree on it. But as I'm replaying it, this is an alternate perspective. I'm not going to determine right now whether I agree or not, but I would say, if I were going to say it's the players, you know, like maybe I'll leave the game stands to coaches, and then I'll say, okay, Marcus, what if you're wrong? Make a case that
absolutely
it's the players,
I'm
right?
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Now, when you make a case that it's the players,
okay,
your personal pride in defense, right, is something.
Right.
David Padgett's substitution is another way to address defense, right? Danga Dell, to me, is not playing committed basketball, not like sacrifice basketball. Quinn Snyder has been up until the second half, basically. Quinn Snyder has been playing sacrifice basketball, trying to distribute, trying to get the ball to everybody else. When he starts kind of being aggressive, everything seemed to start clicking a little better, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive end, they're just not being tough, right?
Right.
You talked about post position, right? They were getting out physical. When I start seeing, you know, rebound after rebound where everybody's in the same position.
Yeah.
The only part about this conversation that I would put on Coach Padgett is the confidence to substitute freely.
Yes.
Now that I will do, but again.
But that falls under coaching down the stretch.
It still doesn't to me, because when you have Danga Dell,
okay,
Danga Dell, who's a pro prospect.
Yes.
When you have VJ, who's a pro prospect. When you have Honest showing up on boards, as when you have, you know, Ray Spalding.
Right.
I should be able to leave that group in there and show extra trust in there. I mean, it's early in the season, right?
Right.
This is not panic time.
No, I agree with that.
And see what here's what I'm giving Padgett the pass on, the hesitancy to start benching freely. Because you got to think, Padgett sat behind Rick Pitino, and everybody who wants to criticize anything about Coach Pitino says, oh, all his players play scared. We acknowledge that, right?
Right.
David Padgett has to listen to every fan, every player, every person outside, because they're not going to say it to Coach Pitino. You're too hard on your players. You're subbing them too quick. They're not getting confidence.
Right.
And anybody listening to this radio show has said, Coach Pitino's killing those guys' confidence. They're killing them. So when you get a David Paget, does he get some time to say, dang, I'm going to let you play through this, but you have to deliver? I think he's doing the, I'm trying to let you guys play and work through this, but you're not delivering. So not delivering, getting out-muscled for rebounds. If I have Ray Spalding, Anas Mamou, and Dangadel, three guys in the paint, and they don't come up with the rebound, that's a player thing, you know? Like, I should be able to run this play, and you guys should have enough confidence to make a pass left to right. Those steals were between, a lot of times, Q and Dangadel. I should be able, you guys been running this for 2-3 years together. You should be able to exchange with each other. You should have a rhythm. You should know each other, you know, to complete these simple plays. So, again, I can bring a lot to the player in the execution part of it.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I say, if I'm getting out-muscled and out-toughed, I think sometimes, how scared am I to go back to the bench?
Right.
How scared am I that, oh, my guy just got the rebound? I mean, I'm not turning. My point is, if Louisville had hired Tom Crean to take this season over, just for this season, do you think Louisville loses both those games this week?
If he's on a one-year patchwork job,
just a one-year thing,
I think it looks the exact same as David.
See, I don't agree with that at all. I think Louisville would have at least won one of those two games. And I'm not a David Paget hater. I think it's his first year. I think he's in a little bit over his head, which is fair. He's doing a good job trying to do what he can do here. I mean,
here's what else you have to factor in. While coaching, you know, maybe coaching experience, if you hire a Crean, like, let's look at the big picture. If you hire a Crean, if you would have hired a Crean.
Yeah, and God knows I don't want Tom Crean.
Half of the, it would have been a Tennesseeskin revolt. It would have been,
fans?
Yes, I would have been the Clay Travis. You would have been the Clay Travis.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
And guess what? The players would have heard it.
Right.
They would have heard the revolt. So when Tom Crean comes in here, I'll, you know, do this, do that. Dude, you ain't my coach. Like, you would have heard, you know, there's a symbiotic relationship between what the players, the vibe of the players, the energy of the players, and the fans. You would have had so many people displeased with the hiring of Tom Crean, especially, you know, coming from Indiana, that you might get the same kind of negative energy.
So if you're saying it's a player thing, then you just don't think this team's very good.
I think they're, you know, I just don't
think. Because
they're
a bunch of, there's not a, it's not a ton of young guys making the mistakes. So
I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. I think
if it's the players, I think it's more worrisome than if it's the coach. Because to me, if it's the players, then y'all just aren't going to get it together. Because if it's the coach, I think that I'm saying down the stretch, I think David can make a few changes here or there.
Here's the thing. This is why I say the players. We're looking like we looked when we lost against Michigan.
Yeah.
Repeat. You nodded your head. Repeat. Mm-hmm. 8150-93.9. Feel free to chime in. This team last night looked like the exact team that lost to Michigan. Right?
I think they looked a little better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's still the type of turnovers, the type of lulls,
yeah,
the bad shot, the up close point blank misses. Rick Pitino coached that team against Michigan.
Yeah.
Right? So
he recruited a bad crop of players. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that you didn't get the development in the offseason, maybe, that you would have got. I mean, and I'm talking about, again, I kind of say personal pride. Dangadel, like Quentin looked faster, right?
Right.
What has Dangadel improved at that you've saw out on the court? Because it's not his defense. Right?
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not his defense.
He turns the ball over. His ball handling isn't very good.
And again, to me, that's like the personal kind of things. Like, you want to go to the league, you work on these things. We should have seen, you know, individual development. But again, Rick can say, I can run you more. I can make you lift weights more.
Yes.
I can do these things physically. Dangadel looks bigger and better. That's,
yeah, he does.
That's coaching staff. That's staff stuff. But I think the skill set
your individuals are your, you know, improvement time, you know, in the off season. Like, your work gets it done.
Well, regardless, something's happening down the stretch, whether it's player or coach. I tend to think it's a little bit more of the coaching side of it. And again, like I said, when I say that, I'm not saying, oh, David can't coach, and he's the reason they're losing just because he's crap. That's not what I
mean. You're saying.
I mean, I don't know whether it's the respect or fear factor. I don't know whether it's the maybe he just made a few bad decisions down the stretch. Whatever it may be, they're losing games that they're winning. They're winning games for – I mean, they were up 8 in the second half. They shouldn't have lost that game last night. There's no reason they should have lost that game. But down the stretch of games, they're just making every wrong
– Yeah, right. Digadel, you can't point to one
freaking
thing.
Blocked V.J. King yesterday on a putback. I mean, V.J. had a putback, and Digadel just sporadically jumps after it and knocks the ball out of his hands. I mean, it's – that type of stuff can't happen if you're wanting to win games down the stretch. Now, can they fix it? I sure hope so.
Right.
Are they looking like a team that could be good? Yeah, they still are.
That's, see, now that's to me, my
all hope's not lost. Yeah.
No, my best eyeballs say those things are fixable.
Yes, I agree with that.
With some personal challenging, we'll go 50.
Now, can they be
and coaching and coaching substitution? Again, so when I say it's 50-50, then it's equal blame. You know, right. like I don't have to lean more towards coach or player. I can say right now the mixture of motivation and substitution and experience,
right,
it's just not there yet.
And
I say yet. Like I said, again, this is not a blame time. You know, when you have too many moving parts.
Look, they're not just getting the crap kicked out
right.
of them.
Right.
I mean, like they
And these are two top 20 teams. What if Louisville's 27 right now? I said it last night, and 1 second, guys, I'm going to the phone lines. What if Louisville's probably the 27th, 28th best team? A 1-point game to a top 20 Seton Hall, right?
Right.
What if Louisville's ranked about number 30 in the country right now? Louisville has had the worst basketball offseason in the history of college basketball, Steve. David Padgett is the youngest Division I Power 5 coach. He got given the job 3 weeks before the season. And Steve, I'm going to say it before you even say it. Well, it is what it is, Marcus. You got to go get it done.
See, well, and that's what I was going to say.
I know, and that's a fact.
It's still Louisville. We still don't like to lose. We expect to win.
Right. And with that expectation is another reason I go back to the players a bit. Will, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Hey, how y'all guys doing? I really enjoy y'all show.
Good,
and 90% of the time, no, I'll say 95% of the time. Marcus, I agree with you. But. I really do. But this time, your partner's right, man. I believe if it would have been Tom Crean or just any other established coach, they can pull out maybe 5 more points out of them guys and maybe 2 or 3 more stops out of them guys. I just think that Patrick just has a little bit more coach-player friendship. Because if he was to set, it's enough freshmen on there that he can set one of them major guys.
Yes. Okay, well, let me ask you this. In 5 games from now, is David Padgett 5 points better of a coach? In five games? Do you see him getting better?
Not really. I really don't, because I believe it's a matter of, I think a lot of times the fear factor does help teams that you recruit,
and you don't think he can get that fair factor
rebuilding with. Well, what I'm saying is Rick recruited a lot of teams that you have to pull the talent out of. Not to say that these guys aren't 4 and 5 stars, but they still been like teams you have to really kind of like bring the talent out of them. And I still think Louisville has that sort of team Digadel just clumsy. He's goofy and he's clumsy. He has a lot of talent.
How is that David Padgett's fault then? That's the same thing, Adele, that kept getting burnt under Rick. He couldn't bring out better defense.
But a lot of fear factor says if you don't get it together, you don't play. And the fear factor does work because you do see the talent pulled out of them. I don't know if that's the fear factor reason. I believe it is. And stand on their butts. And, you know, honest Mahmood, he said the worst thing he didn't like about Rick was getting on him. Well, he needs to be got on. He's 7 foot tall, and he's one of the best shot blockers. But he can't stand his ground because his heart ain't there.
Listen,
but don't you think that a legitimate coach would be able to see that beat and lean on him a little more?
Listen, I appreciate the call, Will, but I'll say this. What you're pointing out is the exact same honest Mahmood under Rick Pitino. What did Rick say? I don't know if he even wants to play professional basketball. I don't know how much he's into it. This is 3 years under Rick Pitino. And you expect that David Paget in the first six games is supposed to have honest playing? Like, we were hoping that David Paget and his, you know, maybe attention to big man play would awaken something in honest, right?
Yes.
We wanted that. This is the same kind of softer play out of honest Mahmood.
But to me, if you get one rebound, I think it's time to start Malik Williams. If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with freshmen.
But here's what I'm saying. You started honest all last year, even when he did that. Honest was leaving games last year with 1 and 2 rebounds, and Rick was saying, we cannot have honest Mahmood with 2 rebounds.
I mean, I don't know. Mango was playing some serious minutes.
Late.
Yeah.
Late. Yeah, Mango was out for a while, but Honest was still starting.
Yeah.
We can't get revisionist. Malik Williams shoots one of them three-pointers, man, and Rick's done with them for 6 weeks. Malik was just getting off the bench.
That's my thing, though. This isn't Rick, though.
I know.
So now I'm holding David, Coach Paget.
You're holding him responsible for things that Rick didn't even do.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, I can't hold him responsible. I can't say you and Rick are the same thing. I mean, there's things that we didn't like from Pitino that, hey, if you're going to lose your Hall of Fame coach, then you're going, I don't want to see those things. I don't want to see those again.
Right. But, okay, I think we're kind of still meeting halfway with that.
No, I agree.
There's a lot of stuff that we're seeing out of these players. That's what I'm saying. I just don't want this to be a David Paget conversation.
No.
When you're saying the same narratives about honest, when you're saying the same narratives about Rick said, we can't play a matchup zone because Dang Adele has no court awareness on defense. He said that.
Right.
It looks a little more noticeable because you have to have Dang Adele on the floor. Well, you don't now. But again, this is going to boil down to at what point does David Paget say, I'm not going to rely on Dang Adele if he's not going to play defense, right? Because you're not even in a close game if you have Dwayne Sutton in there. You know the stat that I'm coming with, Steve.
Yeah.
That's not getting any kind of credit at all. I said it last night. I sat there courtside. I said, do you realize, and I gave it to all media people, so if you heard it somewhere else, it came from me. Do you realize that when Dwayne Sutton has been in the game, he's drawn a foul almost every time he gets the ball in the paint? Dwayne Sutton drew five fouls on Seton Hall.
And can't stay on the court.
And is working his way on the court. Right now, I just think David Paget trusts Dang Adele a little more, just like Rick did. So we can't pile on David Paget for something that Rick did the same way.
He play Sutton at the four.
Troy, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, guys. Y'all kind of beat me to the point, but, you know, we have to have Dang Adele in there. That's all there is to it. I know y'all are talking about defense, and you're right, but I mean, come on, man. Honest has 1 rebound, no points. Ray has 8 rebounds, 2 points. That's a problem right there. That's the problem. The front line needs to be corrected. I agree with playing Dwayne Sutton more. I agree with playing Malik Williams more. I'm sorry, I like Honest. I like him as a kid and everything. Honest ain't getting it done. Of course he gets block shots. Heck, he should. He's 7'1". But 0 points, 1 rebound. Ray Spalding, too inconsistent. He did have 8 rebounds.
So what, do you want to bench Ray Spalding too?
I'd say bring Malik Williams in and Dwayne Sutton a little more because, I mean, Ray either brings it or he doesn't. But 2 points, guys, between your center and your power forward. It's got to be corrected, man. And, you know, go Cards. I'll let y'all comment.
I appreciate the call. And way to end that call with the perfect. With the go Cards element.
Yeah. I think that's the feeling with a lot of people. I mean, I think Ding Adele, and I agree with you, man. You can't not, as much as we do jump on Ding Adele, you can't not play Ding Adele. I mean that's not an option. I don't think that's an option.
Yeah, I'm not talking about bench him, but his minutes have got to go down. Okay.
I don't know, man.
So if put it this way. If Ding Adele scores 17 points.
Right?
But you and I can personally account for 17 points of lack of rotation, of gamble, of out of position on Ding Adele.
Okay.
Even, you know, 13 points. Then Ding Adele basically just scored. That's why they start counting plus minuses. Because Ding Adele basically only scored 6 points. If he was responsible for 12 to 14 points, he's between fouls or causing somebody to get in foul trouble. When you get a Dwayne Sutton, you get your defensive stop and you get a foul drawn on a team and you get a rebound. These are things like a Jordan Wara. You don't have the three-pointer.
I think he should get some more clock. I do agree with that.
Right. And like I said,
why not start him at the four? Like, because I think what you're saying is right, but I think is what a lot of people right now in the city of Louisville
they want something done.
Well, no, and they're saying, okay, I get you. Okay, Ding Adele scores 17, but he gives up 13. Okay, well, Honest Mahmoud just played for, let's say he got in for 60 possessions maybe.
Right.
He got one rebound. 59 other, he didn't touch the ball.
That
to me is a bigger problem.
And again, that's a problem with Honest, who's a senior who you should be able to.
Which is why you got to set him.
But I'm saying. But Rick never sat him.
No, Rick would, though. Rick would set Honest for Mango.
He started forever.
Once Mango got healthy, he set Honest on the bench.
Then Honest comes in, and then he plays good, and the next game Honest is starting. He was just
right.
Okay, I will agree. Rick had more confidence in making his substitutions. But what I'm saying is Padgett's not in a position to lose the team like that by substituting as freely, you know, as a Rick Pitino.
Well, right now he's losing games. So I'd be more worried about that.
Early losses will
at least if the team revolts, you say.
He's establishing long term culture, Steve. Priest, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Hello?
Priest, yeah, fire away.
I just got this. What Padgett is like their friend to me. I mean, in our offense, you can tell there's no fluidity with their offense. We don't get the corner shot. Everybody's going for what they know on their own. So everybody's dribbling to the rack. They pull it up and shooting. There's no assist. There's no helping the next man. And on defense, everybody gets beat off the dribble. I mean, everything. And it seems like he don't worry about them shooting and playing on offense. And it goes back to me when he said, "Well, I'm not Rick Pitino, and I don't send him to the tarmac or wherever they send him to when they mess up." You can't, man.
Coaches,
I play football and basketball. All high school, middle school, everything. The best coaches are the ones that sometimes you don't like them. Sometimes you just don't like them because they're going to push you and they're going to grind you out and they're going to make you be better. And it seems like on offense, they're not getting better. This is horrible. The offense is horrible. And this is these are five players that have been in this program. And it seems like everybody's going for them. I don't not spouting them because they don't get the ball. They don't get the ball. It's the perimeter guys dribbling and shooting. But if they pass, only when they can't dribble no more. They pass if they can't get to the lane, they'll pass. But other than that, they're not setting each other up, and ain't nobody getting punished for it, so they just leave them in, and everybody does the same thing. They just shoot the ball, dribble the ball, shoot, dribble the ball, shoot. There's no fluidity in the offense.
Is this the same offense that Rick Pitino ran?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You watched Louisville last year?
It don't look like it. It don't look like it. Have you seen anybody hit a corner three besides Sutton the other day? And that was on the go. That wasn't a half court set. On a half court set, everybody dribbles and shoots. And Q, it seemed like he's playing with a lot of pressure on him. He's not playing loose, and he's not playing with the confidence that I've seen.
Said the exact same thing last year. Q looks like he's playing under pressure. We said that. I appreciate the call. No, Priest, I appreciate the call. But here's the problem, people. There is something that's affecting y'all perception right now, and it's called confirmation bias. I noticed that everything everyone's saying, the reason, Steve, you can see, I have one note at the beginning of the show, yeah. And I knew this one note was going to be the most important theme of the show. Changes in opinion from week one.
Right.
Other than people thinking more of what they already thought, like Priest just said, oh, well, he's more their friend. And I'll go back to when he said, I'm not Coach Pitino. And, you know, and people were saying that. You know what that is? That means you already had your opinion that David Padgett was their friend. And going into the season, that was your biggest fear. And that's what you're applying right now.
Right.
Right? Like, listen, Coach Padgett, after to use your out-of-bounds play, for example.
Yeah.
He saw that. And then he said, I'm going to go get my senior point guard, right? And I'm going to get my wingman who he's played with for three years. And I'm going to have them execute this play. If you two can't execute this play, what am I going to do? Eventually, I'm going to have to go to young Atlanta. But we're still in our second big test.
Which is why I say when we don't want to keep doing this, right. I'll talk to David Padgett face to face. It's fine.
Right.
I think I think what he's doing, I don't think all hope is lost. I don't think he's just a crap coach. Do I think he's the coach here next year? Absolutely not. I don't. But I think he's a head coach somewhere.
Right.
I think he's a good coach that's going to have a good career. And I think he's made a lot of good decisions, too.
That's what I'm saying. And so, not to mention, like, are we just going to throw the fact that I'm just seems like one of the leading nation free throw shooters? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know.
I'm just saying.
You're holding teams to fewer points than they scored. Lower percentages in 3-point.
Well,
do that last night.
But. Well, no. But, I mean, you're right. But I'm just saying in a micro perspective of this week,
right.
Purdue and Seton Hall, I think you lost those games. I think more because of the coaching. But in the same breath, that's your first two big tests. I can be like, I'm not totally, hey, this team's crap. They're not going to be good.
They're not going to get beat. Right.
Now get beat by Indiana next week, and I may be saying.
And I'm saying you lost your 1-on-1. It's kind of like we talked in football. It comes down to tackling. If I get you the ball in this position, remember we said it last year all the time. I said, if Coach Pitino draws up a play and gets honest the ball point blank range, and he doesn't dunk it when he's right under the basket,
right?
Well, you know what Pitino does? We can't win unless you do that. Like, I can't go get another player to get us to the championship. Like, our ceiling goes through honest.
Well, then that's terrifying.
Right now it is. But what I'm saying is the way Pitino coached it last year is in order to have the best team at the end of the year, we have to deal with a Ray Spalding 2 points and then kill him in practice and kill him in a film room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's
the difference between win now and teaching.
And to be fair, let me say this. The difference between Honest and Ray with me is the consistency that you get out of Ray. Now, I know a lot of people just went, what? Consistency with Ray? But Ray consistently will play good on the ball defense.
Switch.
He was the one player that when Delgado would get the ball on the bench or on the post, would not take a step back.
Reset that, because that's a very, very important thing. And again, You can say Padgett needs to substitute based on that, right? But here, our biggest knock on him is the substitution pattern. What coach don't you kill over their substitution patterns?
Oh, yeah.
For a start. But you made a point. Every time a person got the ball with their back to our big men.
Especially Delgado. The big men, honest, and Malik didn't do it one time, though.
Right.
He stood his ground, and Delgado couldn't score.
Right.
But they would immediately take a step back and give ground, and it's almost like you could physically, and I pointed it out to you, you could physically see Delgado kind of like,
Where's his body at?
Well, yeah. I was going to pass this ball out and make a play, but you just backed up. Like, so I'm going at you.
If
you know,
if you're
going
to let me, back you down to the block, I have to take this.
Right, right. And like you would see him do it.
Right, right. So again,
but Ray don't do that. That's what I was saying. The consistency you get out of Ray. Now, here's the problem with Honest. Honest will, and he blocked, he did have a stretch there where Louisville probably had, so let me give Honest this credit too real quick. He did have a stretch there where Louisville probably looked the best they looked all game, and Honest was in there.
Right.
He was blocking some shots.
That was the point I was trying to make. Your best potential team, but I get
that's
what you're saying.
No,
I understand. I 100% agree what you're saying. You can't lose these games in the process of trying to develop your best team.
Well, because Honest just, he'll show up for a little bit, and then he won't. At least out of Ray, you're going to get playing
Snyder
hard.
Quinn Snyder has a better first half. If Quinn Snyder hits this three-pointer, you know, if one ball or two possessions go our way, you're turning the corner. You feel like momentum is behind you. You got that Purdue game out the way. And, again, this is a good team. Honest cannot give up that position, cannot just get whooped.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Wagner from Michigan just whooped us in a one-on-one. This is not the type of team you could just start double team in the inside, because one of the best, Delgado's one of the best passing out of the paint. I mean,
he's an excellent player too.
Yeah, right.
Let's give him props.
Right.
He's a great
player. But again, it's the 12 points in easy layups that you got from getting beat off the dribble is why this game's so close.
Yes.
When you're up 8 points and a bad quick shot out of Dangadel because he sees VJ hot. Any team that does not get the ball back to VJ King, that's a team. That's kind of a team thing. Like, you have to get that ball back to that man, right? And I could see where you say, okay, coach has to make sure they get. But you got experienced guys on the floor,
right?
They should know that. And again, the uncomfortable part to me is Dangadel trying to get to the league, VJ trying to get to the league, Honest senior checking out, sees his future, and Spalding having different intentions. I don't know what their partnership is like. I don't know, what they are. But on the court, it looks like at least VJ and Dang are going in opposite directions trying to get to the league. Now, that's scary. And that's a personal thing.
Yeah, well, no, I agree
until
with that.
Until he starts substituting and putting the war in. So I'll give you the passion element on the substitutions. Louisville Sean, the barber, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, I wanted to say, man, the difference between pretty much the difference between our team now and when we had Rick is when the talent disappeared, we had the discipline show up. First of all, Malik Williams should never take that 3-point shot. He can't shoot it. I'm just going to be the one to say it. He can't shoot the three.
Oh, I disagree.
Yeah, I mean, he turned right around and hit another one.
Hey, he's at the top of the key. You have somebody else take that shot, we won the game.
He went 1-for-2.
It's just that, yeah, 1-for-10. Come on now. You can't shoot.
No, 1-for-2. He went 1-for-2 yesterday. I mean,
1-for-2?
Yeah, I mean,
okay, what about the game before?
What, did he miss one?
Right.
The game before, he took a bunch of threes.
So,
and we lost.
But you knew that coming into the, you like big men to be big men, right?
Be a big man. We don't have one big man that can sit here and go out and
that's
score
my point.
2 points unless it's drawn up. Not one guy.
Sean, I appreciate the call. See my point, Steve?
Yeah.
Popped up right there. That's a guy who didn't like Malik Williams shooting threes. He went 1-for-2 from the three-point line. And Sean the Barber just said, big man got to be big man. That means he had it in his head before the season started that seven-footers don't. Malik Williams, in a shootout with his teammates, is the top three on the team probably. Shooters. From set shots, right?
Right.
Now, with Malik Williams, I'm going to talk about his judgment. And I'm going to say, hey, you can't come off the bench and shoot within your first minute off the bench.
Right.
Darius Perry, you cannot shoot your first open shot off the bench. I never understood it as a player. I understand it as an adult. But that's a freshman thing. When Rick doesn't play freshman, you know what I'm saying? And Padge is playing freshman.
Malik was that, 1-for-3, by the way.
That's taking good with the bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because early in the half, he shot a forced one. But you know what he didn't do? He got a wide open look, you know, in a crucial situation from the corner, and he didn't shoot it. Right. That was direct coaching right there. That was direct improvement. You can see it when you watch him play. Lawrence, sorry to leave you on hold so long, my man. What's going on?
That's all right, guys. Marcus, I want to thank you from yesterday for letting us vent last night after the game.
It was tough.
I said before the season started, Patton can be buddy-buddy with the guys. He got to be hard on them. And when honestly, my mood came out saying practice more easier, like and coach ain't not being so hard on us, he got to change that. He got to start being hard right now. Because these guys right now are just playing for themselves. They're not playing as a team. And I'm always at, like the guy saying, feed the post, let these guys try to see what they can do in the post. Like, if they ain't going, then y'all start attacking the back and everything else. But right now, that ain't happening. The thing I really hated yesterday was when he left BJ on the bench in the last three to two minutes in the game, as Jordan Noir and that. If BJ is supposed to be one of your best players on the team, you got to play him down the stretch. Don't leave him on the bench.
Lawrence, man, I appreciate the call, but here's the thing. You have to. It's an uncomfortable transition between your veteran players and playing your, you know, and playing your rookies, playing your freshmen, and acknowledging that the freshmen are outplaying you. And again, this is nothing new with coaches trying to figure out lineups. We argued over Jalen Johnson and Ray Spalding. We argued over, you know, can you play Spalding and Honest together? Like, these are nothing new about the positional arguments. And I will say this. When you say you can't dump it into VJ or Honest, right? And Texter, I saw you. But when you say another poor performance, that's you're setting that one up. When I give Ray the ball on that post, right, and he gets pushed out to shoot a bad shot, right? I can't defend Ray on that anymore, right? I can say okay, he doesn't have a lot of experience on that, and then you have to go back to. That's why you see these guards weaving and shooting the ball from the outside. Because when you got the ball in position, Honest allowed himself to get pushed out. You know?
Right.
He wasn't physical. Now, I think this is the game. Put it this way, Steve. If you went up to this game and said, okay, from now on, Malik plays more, War plays more, and Sutton plays more. Don't you think this is about the game where you decide that?
Yeah, but you do realize that Sutton and Wara played more minutes than Ray and Honest.
Well, Honest was in foul trouble.
Well, so was Ray a little bit, but I mean, still, like people, I mean, so for some
so
of
you, saying that's not the easy fix, like,
yeah, because I mean, I think Wara played 21 minutes, Sutton played 20, Spalding played 17, and Honest played 20, so same amount,
same,
for,
yeah, right,
for
50-50,
yeah, but still, I mean, so I mean,
okay. This is would be about the time where you make a big,
but
a big,
I agree. Yeah, this is
change
where you
imprint. Yeah, like you wouldn't have decided before the Seton Hall game to scrap the Honest Ray Spalding.
No,
big
not
man
after
line.
The Purdue game, because I think we all felt like, hey, if they come out and, you know, if they finish the game,
right.
And if they would have finished the game against Seton Hall last night, I think we would have all went. So, okay,
and
all right,
and
you
then you end up having
going.
One of those situations where you said it last night, and I want you to acknowledge that you said it last night. The good part about losing that game. Let me get to this phone line really quick. Kevin, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Yo, man, it's like what, looking at, used to watching, observing a Picasso painting to looking at the paintings that you do at those places that where you go have parties and you can drink.
It's some untapped potential at those drinking parties.
No, my thing is, it's not that we're running a different offense. We shoot too early in the offense.
Yeah,
that's the problem. True. That's why you're not seeing that corner three, because that usually comes when it's breaking down. I mean, we shooting within the first 5 seconds of a possession. And, you know, it's sort of like, I mean, nothing against the women, but it's sort of like watching the women's game, you know, where it's wild.
Whoa. You don't mean the Louisville women, right? You mean some other kind of women, because we got one of the best women's team on the planet.
I know, but women's games drive me crazy because they wild. They just and that's how we play. We playing wild. We, you know, it's that's the issue that we having. We shoot too early in the shot clock. We thin on the front line. You can't throw it to anybody.
Thin?
Where they? Yeah,
You mean weight?
No. Numbers wise, I mean, we got guys, but we don't have guys that you can throw it on the box and they can get their money. Only way they're going to score is on a missed shot or, you know, a putback or something like that. You can't throw it into the post and expect to get any production from anybody. And that's what's going to hurt us going down the stretch. And that's why you're going to see more off balance, Dingadel and VJ King shots and stuff like that, because you get the ball on the offensive end, somebody's got to shoot. And the guys that we got on the inside, they're not getting in the position to be able to get us any money when you throw it into them.
Kevin, I appreciate the call, but again, outside of shooting too early, I couldn't disagree. You're not thin on the front line. You know, like when Honest can get in foul trouble and you can replace him with Malik Williams in there, you can have a Ray Spalding at center lineup. You can have Malik Williams at center lineup. Like you're not thin. You know, you don't have post scoring. But again, Steve, you said you didn't have the post scoring since Anunoby. We got to cut this quick commercial break just so my producer doesn't go crazy. Midday with Marcus Maben. We'll be right back. 8150, 939 is the number on 939 The Ville.
Locked on Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy three medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Steve, you look focused over there. You got some good news or something?
I got some good news. It's getting around Christmas time, and here at ESPN Louisville, we've teamed up with Focus Sparkling Water to cram the van again, and we need your help. We're cramming a van full of toys, clothes, and canned goods this holiday season to make Christmas better for some Louisville families. We'll be taking our 16-passenger van. That's a big van. From Sternberg Truck and Van Rental to various locations between now and Christmas, the first stop will be this Thursday, as ESPN Louisville will be live from Lucky's Market on Hurstbourne from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. with the van. We're asking you to donate toys or clothes to cram the van. Wayside Christian and Salvation Army will distribute those toys and clothes to families who need this holiday season. Also on Thursday, we're going to try to raise $5,000 from listeners that Focus Sparkling Water will match to buy toys for the van. So cram the van with ESPN Louisville, Focus Sparkling Water, and Sternberg Truck and Van Rental, and make the holidays better for some Louisville families. It's a good thing.
It's a great thing. Steve, something caught my attention.
It's back to our losing basketball team.
Rodney Hunter Sr. is joining us on Facebook Live. And he says something that just got under my skin. Rodney, did you just compare this team to a pickup game in Crawford Gym? Now, Rodney, I don't know your age, but you made a Crawford Gym reference. And if you think that anybody who's ever played at Crawford Gym would give up one rebound before they actually cut your heart out of your chest, that was anything but Crawford Gym intensity. You need to change that opinion. You need to scratch that one, Rodney. That wasn't Crawford Gym at all, but I get your point. The pickup game point, not Crawford. Eric. Oh, no, I went Big Dre. Big Dre, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Dre, you there?
I just really want to make 2 points, man. The fans is like, they always just jump down your throat, man. This is Patrick's first time, man. You got to give him time to emphasis on what he's focusing on and what he's trying to do. And as far as big men go, we don't have enforcer big men. We know that. We have skilled big men, finesse big men. So they're going to play like finesse players, like guards and wingmen.
I mean, Rick recruited them, but I appreciate the call. I mean, Rick recruited them like that to put shooters all over the floor. You have to find a balance between defense and stretching the floor with shooters. Like, that's a fact. Let me ask you something, Steve. What do you remember about Duke's season last year as a whole? I'm not trying to, like, throw you on the spot or anything.
They
underachieved.
Yeah. Coach K was out.
Say it louder, Steve.
But when Coach K was out, they weren't very
good. What did that team look like last year?
Yeah, they weren't very good.
But they got it together. They only got it together because of Coach K?
Well, I don't know that they really ever got it together. They got beat in the second round.
Right. South Carolina. Even with Coach K.
Yeah, with Coach K.
That's my point. Yes, they played better because they went back to having the Coach K voice. And people tried to ride that narrative that it was all fixed.
Right.
Until Coach K got busted again and busted again. Then you say, you know what? This team really, it's really not, you know, not better than we thought it was.
Right.
You know, outside. That was the same team that Coach K coached is the same team that they were losing for. But you did get a couple of wins that maybe you wouldn't have got under. It was Capel who took over.
Yes.
So, I'm just pointing out. With new coaches, you have to take your lumps. If it's David Padgett, if it's Capel at Duke. With the Duke players, flaws are flaws with the players, whether who's coaching them. Like, that's just a fact, people. Right. Eric, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Hey, guys. I'll start with the good. I really thought that Q kept really asserting himself and just saying, I'm going to get back into it, was a really good thing for the team. Also thought Dwayne Sutton, the way that he plays, being able to draw fouls and get underneath and do those things is really nice. Honest, obviously, was not, except for the blocks, where it was not really good. We need more from him going into the season. But I do not put this on David Padgett. David Padgett, regardless of the times where we did not look like we were very organized or very good, made adjustments and had us in position to win the game. If Hugh hits that three, we're not talking about, well, did David Padgett coach a good game? We're talking about, yeah, look at these guys. They did such a good job. They were able to pull it out. David Padgett did enough. This is on the players. Mahmoud's done the same thing now for three, now four, starting his fourth year. He's done the exact same thing. He will have good games every once in a while, but then he just doesn't show up. He doesn't do things. And that's not on Rick. That's on the player themselves. Players got to make plays. We were in position to win the game. That's all I can ask from David Padgett in this first season. So, guys, I'm encouraged by some things, and I hope we can just pull it together.
Eric, my man, I appreciate the call. People, we got to take a top of hour.
I get what he's saying, but what Eric just said, if that's true, then we're in trouble. You're in for a long year.
Because?
If it's the players, and David's done everything right, and the players just aren't making it happen, then most of these are guys that have played for a long time.
But you have players on the team that can make it happen. Would you agree?
Yes, but they're not playing.
That's why I say
it's coaching.
But if it's the players,
yeah,
then you have every right to give the players two games to get it together or be benched.
No, I don't think juniors and seniors. No, I think you should
have to go with your juniors and seniors.
You're running the same offense and the same defense. And the juniors and seniors are playing well.
You said they are?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Midday with Marcus Maybe. Top of the break. We're going to stay live on Facebook on 939 The Ville.